What do I put in to find out who the winner was? What should I put first? Somebody tell me. If.
Oh, this is the one we were working on?
This is the one we were working on Tuesday. So, this is called final totals or something like that. So, I'm going to have an if, and what is the first thing I'm going to put inside that if?
Player 1 total is greater than player 2 total.
Okay, if player 1 total is greater than player 2 total, okay, then what do I want to say?
Document.write, and then in parentheses, player 1 wins, with quotes.
Okay, now what do I put?
So then it's else if.
Okay, so I'm going to have an else. And I'm going to put in, and a lot of people put in these parentheses, these curly braces ahead of time so that they will not forget the closing one. Okay, and if that helps you, you can do that. Okay, so somebody else tell me what I write next.
Else, if player one, player two total is greater than player one total.
Okay. And there's just a whole lot of ways you could have done this.
You forgot the her. Play two total.
Yes, thank you. There's a lot of ways you could have tested this. The next one could have been, is player one total equal to player two total? Okay? Because you've got two possibilities left. It's a tie or player two is equal. So he chose to look for, is player two the top winner? But again, you could have done it either way. So this one is going to say now, document write, player two wins. Okay, so now I've got to close this. Do I have to ask the third question?
No.
No. Because there are only three possibilities. Either player 1-1 or player 2-1. So if I rule those out, then I know it's going to be a tie. Okay? If I ask the third question, is it a tie, then I don't really have anything to put on the else on that. So it's better to just, if there's two questions that rule out any possibilities, you know, if you are testing for, did I enter an A or did I enter a B or did I enter a C, then you need to ask all three questions because somebody could have entered a D or an E or an F. But here there are only three possibilities. So I only have to ask two questions. So I'm going to say else, and then I'm going to say, what?
Document write tie.
Document write tie. Okay. And I need one more curly brace in there, which speaks to the, if you put them in ahead of time. Yes?
What if I did it as player one total is greater than player two total, so basically the same way in the beginning. And then instead of else if, you said we could do player one total is equal to player two?
Yes.
If that's the case, write tie.
Right.
Otherwise, player two wins.
Right.
Okay.
So if you test it for a tie, then these two would be flipped.
Okay.
Because the tie would be the second thing that you put out the document right on. And player two wins would have been the third thing. So that's how I can test for the who won the thing. Okay? So by putting this in, I can test for this. Now, another way that I could have done this is I could have set up a message and said, message equals player one wins, message equals player two wins, message equals tie, and then after the if is all over, put in a document write message. Okay, and I've done that with a lot of the ones that I do, where I put the words into a message, and then at the end do a document write. Because as I mentioned, and we're not really worried about that, but document write means I'm writing to an external drive, or I'm writing to a paper, or I'm writing to a screen, and all of those are more complex than just doing stuff in memory. And when I do a document write, behind the scenes, a whole lot of code gets generated that allows me to write to a device. Okay? And so it slows things down by probably a fraction of a nanosecond, so I wouldn't worry about it. But if you're processing a million records and everything, it can a little bit, yeah.
So the document writes that you have up there, the total for player two is, well, you can put that at the bottom, right?
The document right at the bottom, if I made a message.
Okay.
I can't. So, okay, what I could have done is come up here and say...
No, the ones above that.
Yes. Oh, I'm... Yes.
So those...
Those could have all been at the bottom.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out why mine won't run.
Okay. We will look at it later if you want. But as I said, I could have also then come and made this a message. Okay, message equals player one wins, and down at the bottom said document write message. Okay, so I could have said message equals player da da da. And then down here put a document write message. And doing it that way is just an alternate way of doing it. Okay? Questions? Okay. So I guess I will save that. Okay, the next thing we're going to do is go down and look at loops. So I'm doing the math facts, and I have a while loop. So we're looking at math facts while loop. And I didn't go very far in the math facts. Okay, so I started out and I said variable count equals 1. And then I said, well, count is less than or equal to 3. Okay, so that's why the last one up there is about 3 plus 3. And then I said, okay, answer equals count plus count. And then I said, okay, now do the document write. Write out count, concatenated with space plus space, concatenated with count, concatenated with space equals space, concatenated with answer, concatenated with a break. And again, remember the BR with a slash on it is not necessary. And I keep forgetting to fix those. Okay, that's an older version. It works just fine. That's not a problem, but just plain BR is fine. Okay. And then when I get finished writing it, I set count equals count plus one. So I'm incrementing count by one. I come back. Is count less than or equal to three? Yes, it is. I do go in and say count plus count. So now I've got 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I'm going to write out 2 plus 2 equals 4. Okay. Then I add 1 to count, and it's now a 3. I go back, do it while count is less than or equal to 3. It is. 3 plus 3 is a 6. And I write out count 3 plus 3 equals 6. And I add 1 to count, which is now a 4. When I go back, count is no longer less than or equal to 3. It's now 4. So that means the loop ends, and I drop out. And I actually am dropping out of the JavaScript there, but I also am writing something that I wrote in an H2. I'll be over in a minute. Which I'm writing with an H2. Now, I could have written that within the script, and then I'd have to have the document write. Or I can write it outside, because I'm going back to HTML, so I just wrote it in HTML. Okay, because remember, JavaScript is embedded in HTML. So I can do some HTML, which I did up here. I wrote MathFX, do some JavaScript, back to HTML. Then I could have gone back to JavaScript if I had something else to do, and I can go in and out. Yeah.
I was just wondering why you didn't have to put answer in the variables. If it changes.
Because I was callous. You get away with that.
Okay.
He asked a good question.
I feel like if I did that.
It would yell at you if you did it, but I got away with it. He asked why I didn't define variable answer. And why I didn't define variable answer is I was sloppy. Okay? I should have defined variable answer. But you can get away with it. Now, okay, if I had put answer on the right-hand side of the calculation, because that's what it does first, if I had put answer there, it would have given me an error, because it would have said, I don't know what answer is. But because I put answer on the left-hand side, it could do the calculation. And then said, oh, you must want to store it in answer. And it said, okay, I can do that. And it did it. Now, is that the recommended approach? No. It's the sloppy approach. Okay? So it's not what I should have done. But it worked. Okay? So, yes, you should have defined variable. Okay? I should have had... variable answer equals 0. And again, if I had tried to use it as part of a calculation, it would have said, I can't do that because I don't know what answer is. But because I was assigning it to answer, it was able to figure out, oh, there should have been a variable called answer, I'll make one, and we're all set. Yeah.
If you do variable answer equals 0, does that mean within the code you have to put count plus count equals answer?
Yeah, that's where I've got count plus count equals
answer. Yeah, no, but if you bring up answer into the variable and have it equal to 0?
I'd have put it right there above the while.
And then you still have to have answer equals count plus count.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Because answer is where I'm putting the result of my calculation. I would have put it over there.
You couldn't put variable answer equals count plus count?
Yeah, you could do that too.
Okay.
But that is Keith redefining it, and it's not recommended. Now, do I do that sometimes? Yes. But it is better to do your variable definitions once and not keep redefining the variable. Okay? As I said, sometimes I'm sloppy and I get away with things. questions? If I remember, I will fix that. The chances of my remembering are minuscule. Okay, now we're going to do a nested while loop. And I didn't define answer here either. Because, why didn't I define answer in this one? Because I copy and paste. Okay? Copy and paste is a wonderful thing. It causes a lot of errors. Okay. So the last one, I had 1 plus 1, 1 plus, and then 2 plus 2, and then 3 plus 3. But in fact, if you're learning the math facts, you need to have 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 1 plus 3, and then go over to 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3. Okay, we're learning the kindergarten math facts or something here. Okay, so basically what I've got here is I've got a loop within a loop. So this first one over here is count, and the next number is count in. Okay, and I define count and count in. So I said variable count equals 1, and variable count in I didn't give an initial value to. I could have given it a value of 1, but the point is that that is not really where I want to give it an initial value. I want to do it down here. So I defined it, but then I said I'm going to hold off giving it an initial value until I need it. And you'll see why in a minute. So I'm going to have two variables, count and count in. Okay? So count is starting out at 1, and I didn't give count in a starting point. Then I said, okay, now I'm going to have a loop within a loop, because what do I want to do? I want to establish count, and then I want to vary count in 1, 2, 3. Then I want to add 1 to count and reset count in and go 1, 2, 3. Then I want to add 1 to count, reset count in and go 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's what I want to do. So what I have is a loop within a loop, and notice there's two while loops. So I start out, and I said, okay, while count, I've set the variables, while count is less than or equal to 3. Okay, 1 is less than or equal to 3, so I go in. Then I say, okay, now count in is equal to 1. And then I go to the next while, and I say, while count in is less than or equal to 3. I just set it to 1, so it clearly is. I go in and I say answer, which I didn't define, but should have. Answer equals count plus count in. So answer is 2. Then I did a document write, count plus count in equals answer. And this time the plus is right up next to it because I didn't do space plus space. In the other one I did space plus space. So I write out 1 plus 1 equals 2, and then I add 1 to count in. Okay? And at that point, I'm at the end of the loop, so I loop back. And the important thing here is I will run the entire scope of the inner loop before I go back to the outer loop. So I will run the entire scope of the inner loop. So I go back, count in is now a 2. Is that less than or equal to 3? Yes. So it adds 2, 1 plus 2 equals 3, and it writes out 1 plus 2 equals 3. Then it adds 1 to count in, which is now up to a 3. It loops back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. answer equals count plus count in. So answer is 4. And I loop back. Okay? So I am now going to go in, and what have I written? I wrote 1 plus 3 equals 4. I'm now going back and I'm adding 1 to count in, so it's a 4. When I loop back, is count in less than or equal to 3? No, it's a 4 now. So I drop out of the loop. And when I drop out of the loop, I add 1 to count. So count is now up to a 2. And then I loop back. And it says, is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I drop down and I reset count in equal to 1, which is why I needed that there. Okay? So when I drop down, I reset to 1. So I'm dropping down, I'm resetting to 1, and then I start in. While count in is less than or equal to 3, it is. So I say, okay, answer equals count plus count in. So answer is now a 3. Okay? And I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. Then I add 1 to count in. I stay in the inner loop now. And I go back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in and I add. And 2 plus 2 is 4. And I write out 2 plus 2 is 4. And I add 1 to count in, which is now up to a 3. I go back, is 3 less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I calculate answer, which is now up to 5. I write it out, and I add 1 to count in. Now when I go back to the inner loop, count in is not less than or equal to 4. So I drop out, add 1 to count, and loop back. Is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Reset count in to 1, and go into the loop, or go into the add, rather. Yeah.
I don't get how... after it's done with the calculation, it checks to see if the count is less than or equal to 3 every time, right?
Every time.
So how come the, like on the second time, it doesn't check it, and then, yeah, it's less than or equal to 3. Then why does it count in go back to 1? How does it know to go back into the other loop is what I'm confused on. Like the first, obviously 1 plus 1 is easy, but once it gets to 1 plus 2, it goes back to check if it's less than or equal to 3.
It goes back to check count in less than or equal to 3.
Oh, okay.
And when count in maxes out, notice what happens. When count in maxes out at 4, then it gets, I go back.
Then it checks the first one.
Right.
So you never leave the second loop until it's at 4.
Right.
Okay.
So I keep staying in this loop until I max out. When count in is no longer less than or equal to 3, I add 1 to count, and then I go back to the outer loop. And the outer loop says, is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's not. Okay, or I'm sorry, yes, it is. So I go in and I add 1, or I reset 1. Reset count into 1. So when it hits 4, I'm done with the inner loop. I change the control on the outer loop. Go back and test. If I need to do the outer loop again, I reset count in equal to 1 so that I can start fresh, because if I didn't, it would not go in. If it was still 4, it wouldn't go in. So I need to reset it to 1 and then I go in and I do it three times. When I'm done, I drop out, add one to count, and keep going like that. Okay? And we stopped at this point with count in over one, but in fact, count in was going to go, and I was, at this point, I was writing out, and I'm lost where I am. 3 + 1 = 4, right? So I'm going to write out 3 + 1 = 4, and then add one to count in, and so it's now a 2. I go back, is 2 less than or equal to 3? Yes. I've come up with the answer, which is 5, and I write it out. I add one to count in, and it's now a 3. So I go back, and I do one more time. 3 + 3 = 6. Okay, write it out, add one, and I get a 4. So now count in is a 4, so I drop out of the inner loop. Then I add one to count, which gets it up to a 4. So when I go back to the outer loop, count is no longer less than or equal to 3, so I'm out of the outer loop too. I drop out of the whole script. Yes, questions. There should be. This couldn't possibly have made sense to everybody. It just couldn't. Yeah.
So it's a loop within a loop?
Yes. It's a loop within a loop, which is called a nested loop. This is the outer loop. This is the inner loop. Once it hits the inner loop, it runs the entire cycle of the inner loop. And then it drops out when it says it doesn't meet the criteria anymore. Okay? So for each of these, the inner loop is control is count one. Count in, rather. The control is count in. On the outer loop, the control is count. Okay? So within the inner loop, I have, just before I go in, I set count in to 1. I test count in, and I change count in. The three things that I have to do. I set, I check, and I change. And all of them involve count in. For the outer loop, I set count before I came in, I check it there, and I increment it there. So I do set, check is the condition, and change is when I add one to count. So on both of those, I have different controls, and I set each control right before I go into the loop. I check each control in the while, and I change each control inside the loop. Yeah.
You said it's a nested loop?
Nested.
Okay.
Yep. Does it make sense? Are you lying to me? Questions? Okay, just to confuse you, in case I haven't. I can do the same thing a couple of different ways. One of them is the do loop. Okay, so I can have a do loop. And the do loop This is the unnested one, just one loop. I had the same thing. I said count equals one. I didn't define answer because I messed up. And I'm saying count plus count. I write it all out and I add one to count. The difference is the check is down there. So this one, if you remember, I always execute the loop once. I can do more, but I always do it once because I don't check before I go in. So I'm always going to go in and do it once. The decision is whether I'm going to do it again. But I always execute the loop once because I don't check prior to doing it. The condition is at the bottom.
When would you ever want it done that way?
If you want to do everything, something once and want to make sure it does once. If you want to print out information about the person or their credit or something, and then you're going to subtract from their credit or something, so you always want to do it once. We're going to look at in a minute a guessing game, which I did this way. And the guessing game, I always want them to make one guess. And then I want to decide whether they're going to make a second guess. So I always wanted them to do one guess, so I did it that way. And then if you look at the compound of this, I've got two do loops. And it works basically the same way. I set count prior to going into the outer loop. I set count in prior to going into the inner loop. Okay. I do the check at the bottom of the inner loop. I do the check at the bottom of the outer loop. I change count in inside the inner loop. I reset count in just before I went in. I change count in the outer loop after I drop out of the inner loop. I think the while is clearer to understand, but the do while also works as well. Questions, because I'm not going to go through all of this one because it really is exactly the same as the other one. It's just that I check at the end. And the third way of doing it is what's called a for loop. And this is a kind of loop we haven't looked at yet. In the for loop, they do a lot of the work for me. I say for I equals 1. Okay, so instead of using count, I used I. Why did I do that? Habit. For some bizarre reason, most people, when they code a for loop, have the control called I. And that was prior to the internet. Because now it gives you the capital I and you have to go back and change it. So it's really not the smartest thing in the world to do. And count is probably a far better thing, but old habits die slowly. And so I use I as my control. So in this one, I is the control.
I've seen that with other code too. Like if you go on the internet and look up code, a lot of the time you'll see I. So
that's right.
don't get confused. It's pretty much just the count.
Right. I stands for index. And when you're using arrays and all that, which we aren't there yet. But I is, yeah, the same as count, really. This is where I check. And this is where I change. So I put all three things inside parentheses after the word for. Yeah.
Does it matter if you want to use count or odd?
Don't care.
Okay.
Don't care.
Just wondering.
Nope, you can call it anything you want. Okay? So I say the for loop. I say start out at I out at 1. Keep doing it as long as I is less than or equal to 3. Notice semicolons separate. And then I equals I plus 1. Another way you can write I equals I plus 1 is you can write I equals I plus plus. And that is the same as writing I equals I plus 1. So you'll see that lots of times. Okay, so all three are being done there, and so inside I don't have to worry about changing it because I've already told it. Every time you come back, add one die. And if I wanted to add two die, I could have just written I equals I plus 2. Okay, so every time I go back, it will up I and then it will, every time, it will also check. Yeah.
Could you do answer equals I plus plus?
Yes.
Okay. Would you need to have a space between
no.
the two pluses?
No. In fact, you can't have a space between the two pluses, I don't think. There's some things I've just never tried. Okay. And then if I make that a nested loop, I made I and J, and I just put spaces around the equal sign, etc., in this one and not in the other one, just to show you could do it either way. So I have the outer loop is I, and in this one I didn't define J, and I should have. But inside the for loop, actually, I didn't really have to define I, but it kind of defines the for loop, kind of defines it for you. So that's not quite as bad an error as not defining an answer. Okay, so I have a loop that is I equals I, I equals 1, I is less than or equal to 3, I equals I plus 1, and then inside my inner loop is a J. So I have I as the control and J as the control. Okay. So that's just a third way of doing it. And you can pretty much decide I like the while loop and stick with that if you choose to. Okay. The next one I want to look at is a guessing game. So scroll down. And right at the bottom of the JavaScript is the guessing game. And we're going to look at that, and then we can go back and look at arrays, maybe. So guess number. Okay. Now, because I want to be able to check that 4 that I wrote over there is the number that I want you to guess. Okay. Because I want to be able to know whether you did it right or not. So if I put in a 4 and hit OK, it comes back and says you got it. Okay. Now I want you to guess three, and I'm not going to. I'm going to guess two, and it says your guess is too low. Okay. But it stops. So, okay, this was a fun game. I got one guess, and I got it right or I got it wrong, and then I'm done. So, we will add to this to make it a little more interesting. Okay. The first thing that we're going to do here is I want to pick a random number. Okay, now the code to generate a random number is overwhelming. So all languages that I know of give you a way of generating a random number automatically. And that's what JavaScript does. So I set up here a variable called varRandNum. Okay, that's my where I'm going to put the random number. And I said it's equal to math.floor, math.random, times 5, plus 1. And that's one of those wonderful little copy and paste. Okay? The only thing you have to do on this is this means that I'm getting a number from 1 to 5. If I want a number from 1 to 25, I'm going to change that to a 25. If I want a number from 1 to 100, I'm going to change that to 100. So, first of all, I went and got a random number. It gives me a decimal. I add 1 to it. And then I have the times 5 tells me the outside. Floor says make it a whole number. But as I said, this is truly one of those lines that you do a copy and paste and you change the 5 to whatever max you want. And it's going to go from 1 to that number. Okay. Then I did a document write to write it out and a document write to skip down to the next line. If I were actually doing a game, I wouldn't have those two lines. But I wanted to show the correct answer so that I'd know what to guess. So that's why I have those two lines.
What's the plus one at the end again?
It was a decimal number, and the plus one means it's got a, it goes up from 0 to 1.
Okay.
Okay, so it gives you a decimal number. And the adding 1 to it goes up to 1, and then the floor makes it a whole number. Okay, so now I'm saying, okay, take in a guess. And again, I used window.prompt. You don't need that. And what I did was I said, whatever they enter in, I'm going to turn into an integer because I want a whole number from the user, too. So if you enter 3.5, it's going to use 3.3 or whatever. It's going to use just the whole number part. Okay? So it's coming in with a whole number. So now I'm testing. Is the random number equal to the guess? If it is, you got it. Else, if the random number is greater than the guess, okay, then your guess is too low. So if the random number came in as a 4 and I guess 2, 2 is, the 4 is greater than 2, so I'll get a 2 low. Otherwise, I'm getting a 2 high. Okay, so if it was a 4 and I put in a 5, then it's a 2 high. So I'm getting a message that tells me if it's too low or too high. Okay. And again, this is one of those situations where there's only three possibilities. It can only be equal, less than, or greater than. So I don't have to do three tests. Because if it's not the first two, it has to be the third.
Okay.
So looking at it quickly, I'm asking, is it equal? If it is, got it. If it's not equal, is the random greater than the guess? If the random is greater than the guess, then I've got a low. Otherwise, I've got a high. Okay, so that's the logic that I'm asking. And again, I could have done any order. I chose to look for the what I wanted first, so I chose to compare, are they equal? But I could have compared for, is it less than or is it greater than? I can do these in any order I want. Questions? Okay. So the next one, and I don't know why I keep going out. The next one is guess number one game. So again, I know it's a two. So I'm going to enter a three, and I'm getting your guess is too high, and I got it twice, and my mouse is getting carried away, apparently. Okay, come on, you can do this. I'm going to get it. Yes, I finally got it, I think. Okay, so now I'm going to put in a one. And I get my guess is too low. And then I'm putting in a 5. And I got my guess is too high. And finally I'm putting in a 2. And I've got, you got it. Okay, so this is going through and doing it over and over again. And he asked when you would use a do loop. This is kind of a nice way to do it with a do loop because I always want them to guess once. Okay, so I'm having them go into the loop, make one guess, and then checking to see if I should go back. So I'm saying, get the random number, and I did a document write of the random number. And then I said, okay, now prompt the user, and the user puts in my guess. And again, it would have probably been better to put variable my guess up there and set it equal to 0 and then forget the word variable there. This is acceptable, but it's probably not the best way of doing it because every time I go through, it kind of checks and has to redefine variable. Yeah.
If you wanted to not have the number in the top left corner, you would just not do the first document, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
It still works the same.
And it still works fine. It's just when I'm testing, I want to know what the random number is because otherwise I don't know if my code's working. And once it's testing and I put this into production, then I don't have to know. Okay. So here is my do. And the thing that is changing is the guess. Okay? So I am starting out and I am checking to see if the random number equals or if it's greater than or less than. And then I'm saying while the random number is not equal. Okay? This means not equal. So I want to keep doing this while the random number is not equal to guess, my guess.
Where's that symbol again?
Right down here.
Oh, okay.
Where the random number is not equal to my guess. Okay, because as soon as it's equal, then I guessed it and I'm done with the game. So I want to do while the random number is not equal to my guess. Okay? So, in this particular case, I am setting my guess. The control is my guess. Random number is not going to change. The control is my guess. So the control is my guess. I'm setting it with the prompt. Okay? I am checking it down here with the while. I'm checking it, I'm setting and I'm changing with the prompt. So the prompt establishes it the first time and the prompt also changes it. Okay, so the change is the user getting to type in a different number, and the check is where I say, is the random number not equal to my guess? So I set it up with the first prompt the first time, and then it changes with the prompt. Now I could have, if I wanted to, have set it separately and said my guess equals zero or something, and set it separately if I wanted to. Okay? But I just let the prompt do it. But if I had put out here variable my guess equals zero, then that would have counted as setting it. And at that point, I would take out the word variable there. And then it becomes a change. Okay, so this gives me a game. Now, if I want that game to keep changing, and I didn't want to get in here, but there's a one, so I got it. Okay, guess number with multiple games. Okay. So on this one, if I put in a 3, it comes back and says your guess is too low. I put in the 5, which is the answer, and I get it. And then it comes up and says, do you want to play again, yes or no? So I said yes. This time it's a 4, I put in a 5. Too high, I put in the 4, and I've got it. Do you want to play again, yes or no? This time I say no. So on this one, I've got 2 do loops. I've got my outer do loop, which sets up, and I've got my inner do loop that does the game. Okay. So this inner do loop is a game. And so this is the same code that I had on the last example. It's a game, yeah.
How do you get to the page source if it keeps prompting?
Say that again?
How do you get to the page source if it keeps prompting?
It's supposed, well, eventually when you get it, it should end once the program is over. So type in the number that it wants. And then it stops. And with the yes or no, you have to type in a no. And?
I'm going to refresh. Maybe I missed something.
has to be a capital.
Has to be a capital N. And I said, well, play again is not equal to N, so it has to be a capital N.
I'll just look at yours.
Okay, which, what browser are you using?
Firefox.
Yeah, that should be fine. Explorer sometimes gets temperamental.
Yeah,
you have the same problem?
I think I must have messed it up somehow.
Maybe your mouse is doing what my mouse is doing.
I just spammed numbers because Chrome doesn't show the number. And then I just pressed N when it showed.
Chrome doesn't show the number?
No, it just keeps loading until you actually answer it.
Huh.
Well, it wouldn't work if you're doing 1 to 100, but 1 to 5 is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, stick with Firefox and you'll match me. Okay, so this is the game. And the game ends when the random number is equal to my guess, because I'm saying do while the random number is not equal to guess. And if they become equal, then the game ends, right? That's the end of the game. And then I drop down and I put up a prompt that says, do you want to play again, Y or N? And I said, document right, to get a blank line. And then I said, why keep doing this? This do, the outer do. The outer do goes with that while. And that is, do while play again is not equal to no. Okay, so this time I said, do while, just a sec, play again is not equal to no. I could have said, do while play again equals y.
I think that might be the problem.
Okay, but I chose to say, do while is not equal to no. So the only thing that gets me out of this game is a capital N. Nothing else will get me out of the game. So when that prompt comes up, you've got to make sure that you hit a capital N, or you're not going to get out. Okay? You're going to go through and drop down with a new random number and play the game again. You got to hit an N. Now, I decided, you have to kind of make a decision there as to which way to go. I decided that I wanted to keep them in the game rather than get them out by mistake if they hit the wrong thing. So I said they're going to keep doing it until they hit a capital N. Okay, so if they hit the wrong thing, they're going to do it again. If I had put in the test of play again equals Y, then it would have, unless they hit a Y, it won't play again. Okay, so I made the decision that I wanted to keep them in as opposed to throw them out on a mistake. But you can go either way, yeah.
How could you set it up for both? If it needs
both as in what both?
Like you want it to be yes equals play, no equals not.
No.
Maybe
that would be a lot of complicated. You want to, basically you could have set it up as play again not equal to no, or kept the lowercase in the test as well. You could do that, but you'd have to ask the two questions inside the while. So you have to ask the two questions. Well, play again equal.
Maybe at the top.
Yeah, that one's more complicated.
Maybe at the top, have it check, is play again equal to N? And then, if so, drop out.
Yes.
And then at the
you
bottom,
could do that.
You could do play again is equal to Y.
Okay.
You could try that.
Okay, so this one has a double loop. Okay, we have a loop within a loop. And so the inner loop is controlled with the answer, my guess. And the outer loop is controlled with the play again. So I set the play again equal to Y. The user changes it in the prompt, and the while tests it. Okay? So those are the three things that happen. Okay. If I go back to the last one, and to the guess two gets me the right answer and gets me out quickly. Okay, so here I have the do loop, and I just basically took this do loop right here, because that's the game, and I put it into the other one. So everything that I have here became the inner loop on the other one. Okay? So it became the inner loop. So I just took all of that code and I went over I'm having a wonderful time with this. Okay, this is a one. Do you want to play again? No. And I just took all that code and I put it in right here. So there it is. It's that code just translated over to here. Now, what is the one thing that I don't want to have? I want to have up here the random number gets chosen only when you start a new game. Because you don't want the random number to change during the game, or you're really going to frustrate your player, okay? So the random number wants to change before I start a new game. So that's in the outer loop. It is not part of the inner loop. If it was part of the inner loop, then it would change every time they ran it. Okay, so that's part of the outer loop. Questions. Okay, one of the things that I'm going to give you as the next assignment is to write the rock, paper, scissors game. Okay? So I want you to write rock, paper, scissors. And you will find a gazillion copies of it out on the web. Wow, what just went wrong? Oh, good. It has apparently, that's where I kind of got into wrong. Okay, I'm going to have to make up the things. Lovely. Okay. So, you've got rock, paper, scissors. The first part of that is it's a lot easier to deal with numbers because you're going to be generating a random number again. Okay, this time you want a random number for rock, a random number for paper, and a random number for scissors. So it's a lot easier to have the user also enter a number. So you just tell them in the prompt, enter a 1 for rock, a 2 for paper, and 3 for scissors. Because then it will match with the random number that you're going to generate, which is a 1, 2, or 3. Okay? So if you tell the user to enter a 1, 2, or 3, then you can match it to the 1, 2, or 3. Okay, so I would recommend. It's not impossible to have them enter rock, paper, scissors, but you got a lot more coding problems if you do that. So I would have them enter a 1, 2, or 3. As I said, there's lots of versions out there. But I want you to write your own version, which means I want you to write it using the stuff that we have learned. If you decide to use other stuff, you got to explain it to me so that I know you didn't just do a copy and paste without learning anything. If you're going to do a copy and paste, at least learn something from it, okay? So, we've got rock, paper, scissors. So how many possibilities are there when you play rock, paper, scissors?
Nine?
Yeah. Okay. So you can have rock, 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 paper, rock, scissors. And then you can have paper, rock, paper, 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 scissors, and then you can have scissors, rock, scissors, paper, scissors, scissors. Okay, so those are the 9 possibilities that you can have. Now, 3 of those, you don't care about the particulars. If they enter rock, rock, or paper, paper, or scissors, scissors, those are a tie. Okay? So you can just ask, is the random number equal to the user number? And if the random number is equal to the user number, you don't care whether it's rock, paper, or scissors, because if they do the same, it's a tie. So that eliminates 3 with the 1 question, is the random number equal to the user? And then you have to go on. Okay, so you're asking something like, is the random number equal to the user? And if it is, I've got a tie. If the answer's no, then you have to start asking individual questions, okay? For example, is the random number equal to a 1, which means rock, right? Rock is a 1, paper is a 2, scissors is a 3. So is the random number equal to a 1? That tells me it's a rock. The random number chose a rock. Now I know the user didn't choose a rock, or they would have already gotten a tie. So the user had to enter either paper or scissors, right? So I can then say, is the user equal to a 2? And if it is, what does that mean? It means the rock, the random number is a rock. The user entered paper. So what is it, who won?
The user.
The user. Okay. So the user won. Okay. If I get a no to that question, what does it mean?
The user inputted 3.
The user inputted 3, which means who won?
The number.
If the random number is a 1, which is a rock, and the user entered a 3, which is scissors, who won?
The computer.
The computer, the random one. Okay? So I can go through and ask those for each one. Okay, so if the random number equals 1, I know that the user didn't enter a 1 or I'd have already got a tie. Okay? So if the random number is 1 and the user went as a 1, I've got a tie. It's a random number. If not, if the random number is 1, the user entered either a 2 or a 3. If they entered a 2, the user won. If they entered a 3, the computer won.
Okay.
Now, you might consider doing these all with separate if statements, which, good luck with your curly braces. Or you might consider doing some compounds, where you think of how to ask these questions using some compounds, okay? Because you just may find that you can ask it with a lot less hassle if you use the compounds and ask with the ands or ors or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It should be 3.
It depends on how you code it. But depending on different ways that you code it, you can end up...
Okay. Well, because they have 3 outcomes with the same answer.
Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
So...